Yeah, our blizzard is over. It gets pretty warm today. It got up to 35 from the land of cold winters and warm hearts in Minneapolis. This is Stories and Stuff, and I'm Joy Bubbles, your storyteller. Yeah, a lot of people, when they're a child, they're little having a childhood, but there's more and more people that decide, hey, you know, I didn't get to have a childhood when I was little, so there's no time like now. There's a friend I know in Florida named Olinka that feels like that. She's in her 70s, having her childhood. When she was little, about 6, 7, 8 years old, she went to a prison camp, a concentration camp, just for being Jewish. And one day, though, a soldier that liked her said, we're going to play a game. This is called You Run, I Shoot. Now run. And he shot a lot of bullets, and boy, did she ever run. And she got away. She later thinks that he was doing it because he liked her and wanted to help her. But she was pretty scared then. But she did get away and camped out and hid kind of in the woods and stuff, and occasionally people would hide her in barns or something, and she made it through a couple years. And at any time, she knew that she could be shot on sight or taken back to that camp or another one or anything. And it's kind of hard to have a childhood then. But she decided to now, and she bought some trucks and dolls and even with friends built a very large sit-on kind of trucks and wagons and stuff that she would ride around in and would play on big swings and pick dandelions and go out in fields just to play and go around and around and around and be dizzy just for the fun of it and let herself fall down. And she built, you know, with the dolls and everything, built a family and a special world where people were nice to each other. And there was no concentration camps or anything like that. She had heard me on the radio, and she had decided that her time to finally let her child be heard. And she sent me something. During that time, when she had had to leave home and go to the camp, one thing that she had brought with her that was never found, she hid a coin in her shoe. Way deep in there, and somehow she was able to keep that coin, a 5-mark German coin, which is almost as big as a 50-cent piece, and except it doesn't have the little ridges around the edges like a 50-cent piece would. And she said it had a picture of Paul von Hindenburg on it. Well, she kept that in her shoe and kept it with her, and it went through all those times. And she, and symbolic of letting go of those times, she said she wanted to give me that coin. It's something I cherish. I can't imagine what she went through or what that coin went through with her. Yeah, when I was on that station in Florida, an hour talk show, one of the people that heard me was a lady named Elizabeth. And she had to wait till the show after the show to call me. She was crying so hard. Never in her life did she think that she would be hearing these things that she had thought about for years, having a childhood and everything. She had never heard another person say that and didn't know she had somebody that would support her. I was talking about, oh, there's even a nice Latin name for us, Puer Eternus, and how I had gotten a PhD in eternal childhood from a diploma mill, nice parchment thing, just for fun, you know. And that kind of stuff and the value of playing and about rechilding, which the slogan I have is re-envisioning a new past in the present as a support for our future. And she told me about her husband. She had gotten married, and he didn't like her being a child at all. Well, it was okay before the marriage, but once they got married, when he was courting her, he said, oh, that's nice, but He just wanted to, he started giving her toys away and breaking them in front of her and making appointments to therapists that she didn't want. And finally, she got strong enough to get a divorce and everything, but she still had her toys hidden, the ones she had hidden way deep in boxes, like labeled bed linens, and there was like several big thick stacks of bed linens over top of them, or lamps, and they were way down under there, protected. And she suddenly realized, hey, I'm free. I can unhide these. I hadn't even thought of that yet, she said. So she couldn't wait another minute. It was like 3 a.m. when we were talking, and she got her flashlights and went up to the attic, and she was rummaging through boxes and knocking over some in her excitement and everything, getting the stuff out and bringing them down to the living room where her blocks and things could finally see the light of day, and she could play with them, not be in secret. And there was another lady. Oh, yeah, well, Elizabeth formed a group, actually, an Everchild group. And people would meet and just, you know, play with Play-Doh and Silly Putty and sing funny songs and old ones that they knew, like 15 miles on the Erie Canal or something, and all kinds of stuff. And it was, more and more people. Maybe 8 or 10 would come, and it was one even had a cradle made, a big cradle that she would rock in, and she would just kind of watch people play and stuff. But one day she surprised people. She liked to use the name Lullaby Nest for herself, and all of a sudden Lullaby Nest said, "Oh, I got a plan. How about on a Saturday? I found some retired kindergarten teachers that know how to do kindergarten in the old way with play and sharing and all that kind of stuff. And I found a place that we could use for the day. And they have lots of toys and stuff there. And I got a limousine that would pick us up." And so they all decided that would be fun. And they were so surprised because she was usually so quiet. And suddenly she just out of the blue spouted that plan. And a limo picked them all up that Saturday morning, and the retired kindergarten teachers, they loved it. They played the whole day in kindergarten in the old way, singing those songs, you know, 15 miles on the Erie Canal, of course, was one of them, and Polly Wally Doodle All the Day, and all those kind of old songs, Oh Susanna, and playing with, you know, the old modeling clay and Silly Putty and more things than you could imagine. They just, the day went so fast. Little Teddy Grahams and stuff for snacks and the juice boxes. And well, at the end of the day, they decided to stop off at a toy store on the way back. There was one man that had wanted a doll all his life and never was able to have one. And he couldn't decide on the kind of doll he wanted. He liked a bunch of them. He ended up buying 10 of them. And other people, they just loaded that limo up with toys, and it was Kool-Aid and the little containers where they'd normally be the drinks for the grown-ups and everything. And the toy store gave Elizabeth a group special group card and gave each person a discount card that they could show and get like a 10% discount or a 20% discount or something on all the toys they bought. So they had no idea just how much fun this thing would be. And a lady that didn't know about the group, she was at her therapist one day and just out of the blue said, "You know, what I'd really love is I wish I could just have a childhood now somehow. I guess that's impossible." And the therapist said, "Well, it's funny that you'd say that. I don't know if I still have the tape. I'll look for it. But there was this guy on the radio from like Indianapolis or something around there, and he talked about how being rechilding was the most joyful and challenging, wonderful adventure he had ever had in his life." And so luckily she still had the tape and gave it to Elaine, and Elaine heard my number on the tape. And so she called me and we talked about things from her childhood and everything, and she was, I think at that time, still in her 60s. Elaine is. And I told her, I said, you have the courage. You know, you can do it. You can go, instead of like telling the toy store that these are for kids, these toys, you can let them know they're for you. Oh, they would throw me out of the store, wouldn't they? Would you know they and she I said, no, they wouldn't. They'll probably treat you really nice. They usually do. And so she went, and it happened to be that same store, and they were extra nice to her, helping her figure out the kind of toys she wanted and stuff. And she bought a bunch of them, and they asked her if she was part of the group, and she said, what group? And they gave her the card and told her and gave her Elizabeth's contact number. And so Elaine called Elizabeth, not having any idea how that would change her life. Elizabeth, of course, the head of the group, took a special fondness for Elaine and what she had gone through. Elaine told Elizabeth about her mentally ill mother and how anything that Elaine liked too much, her mother would usually burn or otherwise throw away. Like her, someone gave her a Shirley Temple doll because she just loved Shirley Temple. And her mother hated it that she liked that doll that much and burned it in front of her. And a 78 record, Shirley Temple songs. Back then they did have 78s, you know. And her mother broke it in front of her. And things like that, her favorite toys. And she said probably worst of all was when she was 3 or 4. She had these wonderful imaginary friends that she would talk to, and her mother caught her and threw a burlap bag over where they were and took them out and said, I'm going to kill them and get rid of them once and for all. And both of them, she said, were in there. And she took them out to where the roadster was, some kind of car, and kept running over the bag. Said, you know, she was killing them. I'm going to run them over again to make doubly sure they're dead. And Elaine was screaming and pleading and pulling at the car. And, well, she was on the phone with me one night, and I said, well, you know, it's imaginary friends are forever. And as long as you have an imagination and know they're alive, you know they still are. You can never really, nobody else can really hurt those kind of friends. And so I sung some ritual songs, like if she had the windows open waiting for them. Like, I think one was, Ram-Sam-Sam, Ram-Sam-Sam, Hooli-Gooli-Gooli-Gooli-Gooli, Ram-Sam-Sam, it begins with. And another one begins with, the big ship sails on the alley-alley-oo, the alley-alley-oo, you know, and goes on like that. And all of a sudden, Elaine started jumping up and down and screaming. She was so happy because she saw them jump through the open window and they had a reunion. And she said, oh, they just got small and slipped right out of those holes in the burlap bag, and her mother couldn't see them anyway, so they just ran away. And they've been waiting for me ever since to take them back. And Elizabeth loved to do things for people. And so she got Elaine some new old Shirley Temple dolls and found some of the original 78s and had them in a laboratory restored onto cassette professionally, you know, taking the scratches out and everything. And, yeah, back then they used cassettes. This was back in 88 and 1990 and stuff like that. And Elaine was talking about how something she had always wanted was skates that hooked to her shoes, the old kind, the four-wheel kind. And Elizabeth got some and had them re-professionally plated and stuff, all nice new chrome and everything. And she went to a place for older people that used four-wheel skates. And Elaine and her skates were the envy of the whole group. One day, Elizabeth surprised Elaine. She said, how would you like to go on a ship cruise? And Elaine said, well, I don't know how expensive that would be. It won't cost anything. Everything will be taken care of. You know, I'll see to that. And we can bring a lot of our toys and stuff and just play on the decks and everything out there and just have a wonderful time. Well, when they set up their play tables and everything and Play-Doh and modeling clay and silly putty and finger paint and blocks, they had no idea that some of those other ship people would enjoy the playing so much. They had people out there playing with the things and with them all day. And the people that you know, ran the cruise, said how wonderful it had been that we're, you know, the kind of head people on the ship and everything. So this was just wonderful, you all being here. And they ended up taking some off their tickets and everything. And they both got into these ball pits, you know, where you crawl and play in the balls and everything. And they were acting silly and barking like dogs. And people loved it. And people were taking their pictures and stuff. And they smuggled out Elizabeth a ball and Elaine each a ball and wrapped them good because they're hollow so they wouldn't get squashed, and sent me one in memory of the cruise. And I still got them, both of those round plastic balls from a ball pit. And I'll cherish it forever. And one day when Elaine was kind of feeling alone and down, Elizabeth sent a cab over and picked up Elaine and so she could come over to Elizabeth's house. It was during the night. And they stayed up at night together and made cake. And Elizabeth said, come over and you can enjoy the leak in the roof. And they did. It was a plink, plink, plink of the big buckets because they said, it's going to go away tomorrow. You know, they're coming to fix it. So this is the last night for enjoying the leak in the roof. And they would move different buckets there and listen to the different sounds of the plink, plink, plinks as the water leaked in, and just sat and talked and laughed and cried. And a few months ago, Elaine died in her 70s. And in her journal that she had given to Elizabeth, there was a big letter for Elizabeth and talking about how Elizabeth had made Elaine's last years the happiest ever in her whole life, more than she could ever have imagined. And isn't it amazing how one mentor, one good friend can make life so much better? And I'll always remember Elaine and also Elizabeth. I never knew that just answering the phone one day when a talk show person called and being on the air for an hour talking about rechilding would result in Elizabeth meeting Elaine, and they're going on that ship cruise together and laughing and picking dandelions and swinging on big swings, and Elaine getting a special swing seat with shields and power symbols on it that she would sit to hold the swing open so those rubber ones wouldn't squish in as much, and had kind of a saddle horn on it, and it, you know, one of those special things. Well, I got a T-shirt that says children should be seen, heard, and believed. It's never too late to let your child be heard, to bring it out. It's there. It's only sleeping. And for me, it's been one of the most joyful things I've ever done so far. And I think for Elizabeth and Elaine and some of those people, too. And then I guess next time there'll be another story. And this time I'll remember to push the save button, which I forgot to last time, so I had to tell the story all over again, and it always comes out different when I do that. But on the Fillmore, the system here that's on, I have to remember to save it. So I don't think I'll ever not remember that again, once you lose a whole story once. Oh, well. At least that's a mistake that could be corrected. Next time, there'll be another story. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. Find some time to play, and you could be a mentor to somebody and be a change in their lives, just like Elizabeth was to Elaine. Bye for now.
At the tone, please record a voice message. Press the pound key when finished. To send your message with normal delivery, press 1. To send your message with special delivery, press 2. To review your message, press 3. To re-record your message, press 4. To continue your message, press 5. Or to cancel your message, press the star key. Make your selection now. Thank you for using Fillmore Productions voicemail. For more information on Fillmore Productions voicemail or to get your very own Fillmore voicemail box, please call 1-866-4-GET-VMB. That's 1-866-443-8862. Thank you for calling. To transfer to another mailbox, enter the last 4 digits of the box number and press the pound key. Press the star key to exit. Make your selection now. I'm sorry, that was an invalid response. Please try again. To transfer to another mailbox, enter the last 4 digits of the box number and press the pound key. Press the star key to exit. Make your selection now. I'm sorry, that was an invalid response. Please try again. To transfer to another mailbox, enter the last 4 digits of the box number and press the pound key. Press the star key to exit. Make your selection now. I'm sorry, that was an invalid response. Please try again.